গোপীজন ভগা ভাগিহর যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন যশোর নন্দন ব্রজ জন রঞ্জন যমুন রাবণ চি যমুন ছে রাবণ চি জায়া রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি জায়া রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি জয় ও বিষ্ণু পদ পরমহংস হরি বেদাচার্য অষ্টতরসত শ্রী শ্রীমদ্ভাগবৈ ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী শিল প্রভুপাদ কি অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণববৃন্দ কি গ্রন্থরাজ শ্রীমদ্ ভাগবতম কি সমীর ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয় গৌর প্রেমানন্দী অল গ্লোরিয়াস টু দি অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিস অল গ্লোরিয়াস টু শ্রী গুরু শ্রী গৌরাঙ্গ ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায় ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায় ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায় I'm going to read this morning from Canto 7. Some passages from chapter 4, specifically the verses leading up to Lord Nrisingadev's appearance and then Lord Nrisingadev's appearance, in honor of Lord Nrisingadev's appearance. The chapter is entitled, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons. Well, I'll just start right from the beginning of the chapter, text 1. Narada Muni is speaking to Maharaj Yudhisthira, narrating this whole Leela. Narada Muni continued, All the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Shanda and Amarka. When Shanda and Amarka, the sons of Shukracharya, observed that all the students, the sons of the demons, were becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness because of the association of Prahlad Maharaj, they were afraid. They approached the king of the demons and described the situation as it was. When Hiranyakashipu understood the entire situation, he was extremely angry, so much so that his body trembled. Thus he finally decided to kill his son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was by nature very cruel, and feeling insulted, he began hissing like a snake trampled by someone's foot. His son Prahlad was peaceful, mild, and gentle. His senses were under control. And he stood before Hiranyakashipu with folded hands. According to Prahlad's age and behavior, he was not to be chastised yet. With staring crooked eyes, Hiranyakashipu rebuked him with the following harsh words. Sri Hiranyakashipur Avacha. In the purport, it says, it asks the question, why is he called Sri? And the answer is because he had a great son, Prahlad. So he's addressed Sri Hiranyakashipu. Oh, most impudent one, most unintelligent disruptor of the family, oh, lowest of mankind. That's a nice introduction. You have violated my power to rule you, and therefore you are an obstinate fool. Today I shall send you to the place of Yamaraj. My son Prahlad, you rascal, you know that when I am angry, all the planets in the three worlds tremble, along with their chief rulers, by whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you? Listen to the answer. He's fearless. My dear king, the source of my strength, of which you are asking, is also the source of yours. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He is not only your strength or mine, but the only strength for everyone. Without him, no one can get any strength, whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior. Everyone, including Lord Brahma, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because it was Lord Brahma that gave the benediction to Hiranyakashipu that he couldn't be killed this way, that way, the other way. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad continued, who is the Supreme Controller and Time Factor, is the power of the senses, the power of the mind, the power of the body, and the vital force of the senses. His influence is unlimited. He is the best of all living entities, the controller of the three modes of material nature. By his own power, he creates this cosmic manifestation, maintains it, and annihilates it also. My dear father, please give up your demoniac mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equipoise toward everyone, except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind. There is no enemy within this world. When one sees everyone on the platform of equality, one then comes to the position of worshiping the Lord perfectly. Listen to this. In former times, there were many fools like you who did not conquer the six enemies that steal away the wealth of the body. These fools were very proud, thinking, I have conquered all enemies in all the 10 directions. But when a person is victorious over the six enemies and is equipoised towards all living entities, for him there are no enemies. Enemies are merely imagined by one in ignorance. The demoniac mentality has its characteristics in transcendental mentality has its characteristics. But Prahlad is outlining them both to his father, pleading with his father to give up the demoniac mentality. So we could, the purport certainly analyze, we speak just a little bit. on the platform of the soul, the soul has its inherent quality in relation to the Supreme Soul. So Prahlad is on this absolute platform where he's seeing in terms of the soul, including his father. It's not like he can't distinguish the difference between one soul and another soul. He is. He's understanding that his father is of a demoniac mentality. So it's not that you lose the power of discrimination when you become situated like Prahlad is situated. You can't tell what's what. You can tell what's what. Distinctions on the material platform can still be discerned, and acting appropriately can also be discerned. But feeling dvesha or enmity towards someone, towards Hiranyakashipu, or someone is seen as enemy, as is the mentality of Hiranyakashipu. He's seeing friends and enemies. So with friends and enemies, they can't see the soul, you can't see the connection with the Supreme Soul. It's just they're helping my program, or they're interfering with my program, and the program being specifically the program of enjoyment, sense gratification, power, and whatever, you know, someone's material program is made up of. The discrimination of Prahlad is he can see what's what. He can see the divine mentality and the demoniac mentality as Krishna can see the divine mentality and the demoniac mentality. Krishna sees, but he's not na me dveshosti na priyaha. He's not feeling towards one strong attraction or strong repulsion. Rather, Krishna, according to one's regard for him, he acts accordingly. Yayatamam prapadyante tangstataiva pajamyaham. And our great acharyas similarly made their discrimination between divine and demoniac mentality and acted in appropriate circumstances for thinking of the example of the pundit and the kings and his associates that went to challenge Narottam Das Thakur because he was giving initiation to brahmanas, and they were saying this is in violation of the codes of brahmanas, are to be initiated only by brahmanas, that standard, not regarding the transcendental position of Narottam Das Thakur. So it was his disciples' plan, but they made, they recognized the divine and demoniac. They were on the topmost platform, but they recognized divine and demoniac mentality and acted in a very interesting way and diffused the whole situation just by their transcendental knowledge and their good judgment, fine, refined judgment, how to dismiss the party that came to challenge in a very aggressive and offensive way, Narottam Das Thakur, just diffused the whole situation. So it's not that a transcendentalist can't see what's what, but it's not feeling friends and enemies. And when different circumstances are presented, then different behaviors and speech are afforded according to one's position and capacity and so on. So, seeing as enemy, literally as an enemy, dvesha, Prahlad is saying, is merely imagined by one in ignorance. It's a figment of the imagination. It's something within the mind. And similarly, the purport explains, thinking oneself independent. I'll just read. Everyone is actually dependent on the reactions of material laws, but still one thinks himself independent. And he thinks he has conquered all directions. In conclusion, one who thinks that he has many enemies is an ignorant man, whereas one who is in Krishna consciousness knows that there are no enemies but those within oneself, the uncontrolled mind and senses. So Hiranyakashipu gets really angry. He was already really angry. He gets more really angry. You rascal! You are trying to minimize my value as if you were better than me. At controlling the senses. You want to raise a question already? That noise back there is louder than your voice.
Sorry.
No, at the end. Is that okay. All right? I'd rather you wait to the end, because I want to get to the... I want to do something that's over here in the computer. I may never get there. Can you just write it down or remember or...
Sure, of course. Of course. No problem.
Okay. Thanks. Back to... Sri Hiranyakashipu Avacha. You rascal, you are trying to minimize my value as if you are better than me at controlling the senses. This is over-intelligent. I can therefore understand that you desire to die at my hands, for this kind of nonsensical talk is indulged in by those who are about to die. Oh, most unfortunate Prahlad. You have always described a supreme being other than me. A supreme being who is above everything. Who is the controller of everyone, who is all-pervading. Where is he? If he is everywhere, then why is he not present before me in this pillar? Because you are speaking so much nonsense, I shall now sever your head from your body. This is his son, by the way. Now let me see your most worshipable God come to protect you. I want to see it. Yayatamam prapadyante. Being obsessed with anger, Hiranyakashipu, who is very great in bodily strength, thus chastised his exalted devotee son, Prahlad, with harsh words. Cursing him again and again, Hiranyakashipu took up his sword, got up from his royal throne, and went with great anger, struck his fist against the column. Now there's different versions, but this is one of them right here. Then, from within the pillar, came a fearful sound which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. Oh, my dear Yudhisthira, this sound reached even to the abodes of the demigods like Brahma. And when the demigods heard it, they thought, oh, now our planets are being destroyed. The loud sound. While showing his extraordinary prowess, Hiranyakashipu, who desired to kill his own son, heard that wonderful, tumultuous sound, which had never before been heard. Upon hearing the sound, the other leaders of the demons were afraid. None of them can find the origin of that sound in the assembly. To prove that the statement of his servant, Prahlad Maharaj, was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. And thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. And Prabhupada explains that the personality of Godhead was upholding the word. He does that. His devotee says something, the Lord upholds the word of his devotee. Prahlad Maharaj's demoniac father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad, but Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed, since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encouraged his devotee, saying in effect, "Don't worry, I am present here." By manifesting his form as Nrsingadev, the Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any animal or any man. The Lord appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or a lion. It's a nice relationship. And it's like not the devotee puts the Lord into some awkward circumstance so that he has to keep the word of his devotee, but the devotee's word is upheld by the Lord nonetheless. While Hiranyakashipu was looking around to find the source of the sound, that wonderful form of the Lord, which could not be ascertained to be either a man or a lion, emerged from the pillar in amazement. Hiranyakashipu wondered, "What is this creature that is half man and half lion?" So here's the form described. Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord, trying to decide who the form of Lord Nrsingadev standing before him was. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold. His shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face. His deadly teeth. His razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. His ears were erect and motionless. You're like a cat before pouncing on a mouse. And his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and his thick, broad chest, his waist thin, and the hairs on his body as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conch shell, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. And then the fight is about to begin. Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, "Lord Vishnu possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me. But what is the use of such an attempt? Who can fight with me?" Thinking like this and taking up his club, Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. To be continued this evening. So one point that I wanted to speak about is the form of Lord Nrsingadev and its transcendental nature. Here in this verse, or in this little section I read, it is said this is a form that had never before been seen. And then later we hear or read about the goddess of fortune, who is always associating with the Supreme Lord. And similarly, it says she had never seen that form before. So she... And the Lord was in, like, maybe Govinda Maharaj described on Sunday, seeing that form, she knew, I don't want to go. When he's in that mood, I don't want to. No thanks, I won't offer prayers. But here's some description, mainly from Brihat Bhagavatamrita, but some other sources, which indicate that this form of Lord Nrisimhadeva, although it says it had never been seen before, what does that mean? Or it's not that it's now you see it, now you don't see it, or it's a imaginary form or some temporary form, but rather the message is this is an eternal form which, according to the mood of devotion, one may see. The point being, one may think, well, if this is a form never before seen, then maybe it's like a mayic form or something like that. It's not an eternal form. But the whole, so in Vaikuntha, the form of Lord Nrisimhadeva is a four-armed Narayan form, not this one. This is like, you know, now you see it, now you don't form. It's not an eternal form. One may think like that. It's just, you know, the bhav of the bhakta, and then the Lord shows a form according to their bhav, and it's something like, you know, an imagination within their mind or something. So this section is saying it's not like that. So listen. The many forms, I'm reading from Tamal Krishna Maharaj's manuscript for Sri Brahma Samhita on verse 39, Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishtan, that one. And references are from Varaha Purana and Brihat Bhagavatamrita and other places. The many forms which the Lord incarnates are eternal, as stated in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, where Sri Narada Muni explains that the form and features of the Lord one worships here in this world can be seen when one enters Vaikuntha after liberation from the cycle of repeated birth and death. So similar with the form of Ram. It's not that the form of Ram looks like what the form of Ram looks like, and then when he goes to Ayodhya, it's a four-armed Vishnu form. Uh-uh. It's the form of Ram and the form of Ram, specific to the mood of the devotee. So listen. All the forms of the Lord are eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. In this regard, Sanatana Goswami quotes the following verses from the Varaha Purana. So I won't read the Sanskrit. These are translations from Varaha Purana. The Lord's form is not material. It is not made of flesh, fat, and bones, because he is neither a yogi nor a demigod. The infallible Supreme Lord has an eternal spiritual form. The transcendental forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are eternal and imperishable. They were not created at a certain point in time, and they are never to be destroyed. They are not products of the material energy. All the forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are completely filled with transcendental bliss, knowledge, and all auspicious qualities. These spiritual forms of the Lord are free from all material defects. They do not lack anything. Nothing is greater than they. They have all transcendental virtues. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no difference between himself and his form. That's Brihat Bhagavatamrita quoting Varaha Purana. Then Srila Jiva Goswami has described this subject in his Bhagavat Sandarbha, Anuchet 73. There he says, Jiva Goswami, as the Supreme Personality of God, it appears in many different forms, sometimes manifesting his opulences in full, and sometimes only manifesting part of his opulence in the same way. For each of the forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is a corresponding Vaikuntha, the planet. This is described in the Padma Purana Uttarakhanda and also in the following statement by Maitreya Rishi, Bhagavatam 3.19.31. Quote, after thus killing the most formidable demon Hiranyaksha, the Supreme Lord Hari, the origin of the boar species, returned to his own abode where there is always an eternal and uninterrupted festival. The Lord was praised by all the demigods headed by Brahma. So he then, this is Jiva Goswami continuing. In that verse, there's the word sadayitva, which means after killing. Then he explains that each form of the Lord has his own Vaikuntha planet is also confirmed in Bodhayana Shastra in the discussion of the Pavitraropa festival. Jiva Goswami, Bhagavat Sandarbha, same place. One who worships, this is a quote from that scripture, one who worships Lord Nrisingadev by faithfully performing the Pavitraropa festival every year will become liberated. He will enter the transcendental planet where Lord Nrisingadev resides. Devotees who attain the spiritual world can continue to worship the same form of the Lord they worshipped previously. This is explained by Sanatana Goswami in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Quote, according to the specific form, this is like the key. According to the specific form and nature of the Supreme Lord that they meditate on as their beloved, the devotees attain a form like the Lord's. In this way, they manifest many different forms and opulences. They may, this is the worshippers, may have forms like the Lord's incarnation as humans, sages, demigods, philosophers, and as the Lord's incarnations of Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Nrisingha, Vamana, Shiva, Brahma, Indra, Shesha, Surya, Indu, Vayu, Vani, and many other forms. They also attain forearm forms and still other forms with the specific garments and features of the Lord. So that verse 39 of Brahma Samhita is saying Ramadi Murtushu Kala Niyamena Tishtan Nana Avataram Akar. It's the various avatars are all emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Govinda. So this is just a little sidebar that says when Krishna appears, and similarly when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, It is to be understood, all of the incarnations are within him because he's the source of all incarnations. Wherever he is, he's the source of everything. So when he descends, it's not that we should think this is another form of Vishnu, but rather he's the avatari. And as far as Lord Nrisingadev is concerned specifically, the devotees of the Lord in Vaikuntha who worship that particular form, and Lord Nrisingadev himself, who has his abode in Vaikuntha, appears to those worshippers of Lord Nrisingadev that adore that form of his, see that form of his as he appeared before Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu, they see that form. And it's not an imagined form according to their, you know, according to their inclination. Although there is reciprocation with the inclination of the worshiper. But the main point out of all of this is, it's not that now you see it, now you don't. It's temporary form created by Maya. Like somebody's imagination, they imagine something, and then according to their imagination, that's something that appears. There's a science to all of this. There is a reciprocation between the personality of Godhead and his devotee, and according to the, just like the section in first canto where Narada is describing in his previous life seeing the form of the Lord within his heart, and it was in the condition of bhava that form of the Lord appeared. The very next verse after this one, 39, is the Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. When by the Prema Anjana, by the ointment of Prema, and from that reference in the Bhagavatam, the first canto, in the bhava stage, forms of the Lord appear. But we should understand, the main point I wanted to express is these forms that appear, they're not mayic forms. They're eternal forms that have their eternal abode in the Vaikuntha realm, and those forms may descend. And so in according to the inclination of love of the devotee, they may appear this way, they may appear that way. But they're not temporary mayic forms. They're eternal spiritual forms that exist eternally in the Vaikuntha realm. And Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared for his dear devotee Prahlad. And protected him. Just by the full dependence of Prahlad upon Lord Nrisimhadeva. Fearlessly speaking his glories, feeling the full protection of the personality of Godhead. This is quality of full surrender. Any discussion? Yes. Go ahead. Yes. Yeah, you had your hand up before, Luke.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Maharaj. Sorry for interrupting earlier. You were discussing how a devotee is not bewildered by the false idea of friends and enemies. I was wondering how a devotee who is entrusted or charged with the service of defending a spiritual institution and the interests of that institution, how he could not perceive in this way friends and enemies.
Easy. I thought I addressed it, but I'll try again. There's appropriate behavior. Two examples. There's appropriate behavior according to material distinction where it's not seeing friends and enemies. An example that Prabhupada gave is the Pandita Samadarshana verse. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hasani Shuni Chaiva Sapaki Cha Pandita Samadarshana. So explaining that verse, Prabhupada said, the Pandit who sees equally, there's no dvesha, no priya, he sees equally, because he sees the soul, and he sees that's the basis of equality, but he also sees distinctions. So there's a cow, and there's a lion, and he doesn't go embrace the lion. He may go and embrace the cow. So behavior may be different, but there's no dvesha. That's one example. before you go to the next question, let me continue. In Srila Prabhupada's own life, I feel fully confident saying he was not on the mundane platform of friends and enemies. He had created an institution of a Sangha of Vaishnavas under the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he provided protection for his followers so that they could progress very nicely. And it's not that others who were not within the fold were seen as enemies. Unless they behaved like enemies, then he could, you know, he took action accordingly to protect. But it wasn't like that's an enemy. It was just an appropriate behavior. For, you know, when you have some sheep and here comes a wolf. You don't like, oh, there's an enemy. One could think like that, one is an enemy, but one may do other things without thinking that's an enemy. Just sheep are, the wolf is a natural predator for sheep, and so I have to protect the sheep from the wolf. And so on. Give an example of Krishna, who doesn't see friends and enemies. Killing of demons, Putana in specific. You know, false teachers and false teachings, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, Krishna related to them according to their position, not seeing friends and enemies, but, you know, appropriate action for the circumstance. And he delivered Putana in the most exalted way. But he didn't see her as an enemy. He just related to her according to, you know, in an appropriate manner. So one could look at that, not understanding Krishna's disposition, and go, wow. You know, impose some idea upon Krishna's mentality and saying, you know, he was seeing friends and enemies. So it's possible to do some those things in the mentality of friends and enemies. And it's possible to do those things not in the mentality of friends and enemies. Now, go ahead.
I was just thinking it seems a similar kind of situation as like being a husband or a wife and trying to overcome the duality of man and woman. It would be very difficult and awkward for one's service, but as you're describing, it would be possible if one were completely on that self-realized platform. But if in the practicing stage, it strikes me as very difficult.
Sure.
Very difficult.
Sure.
So
no doubt.
I was thinking that in the instance, in taking the example of the man or the woman, then in the Grahastha ashram, they will leave or at least the man, it's recommended, he leaves the ashram for the purpose of perfecting his self-realization, that gives that vision of there are no men, there are no women, there are just souls. So similarly, I was wondering, in the case of devotees who are entrusted with this service of defending the institution from persons who are antagonistic to the institution, that of course, some may be on this Paramahansa platform, like Srila Prabhupada, where they don't make distinctions. But perhaps it could be recommended that in the event that they're practicing devotees, then at a certain period of time, giving up that service for the higher service of self-realization would be recommended.
Well, wait a minute. Everything was fine up to giving up that service for the higher purpose of self-realization is the part that, you know...
If they're practicing devotees.
Yeah. But, you know, part of the service is to help one become, it's part of the process of self-realization. It's not like you give up the service in order to enter into the process of self-realization. I mean, everything was fine up until that.
I was just thinking of the example of kings in the Vedic culture. That's all. They have the service, but then at a certain point in time,
okay.
They retire.
Kings in Vedic time is different than the transcendental Hare Krishna movement in a variety of ways. You know, the kings had to kill, for example. And, you know, and those who are looking after the institution are not expected to have that prowess, nor the license, for example.
Yeah, it still seems to me, Maharaj, and forgive me if this is inaccurate, and please clarify. It seems there are more similarities than differences. The king was considered the direct representative of Vishnu. There are examples of Maharaj Yudhishthir and other kings in the Bhagavatam who were pure devotees, and their service was all transcendental. And still, maybe even they did have the vision of
sure.
the Brahmangsa, but example.
I'm fine with the model that you presented, but the language that you used at the end to present it is my objection.
Your objection.
So I'll put that in, you know, practical terms for you. On the one hand, on the other hand, notice this is the balance situation. Prabhupada said GBC for life. And then there are a number of GBCs that are going to no longer be GBCs. So are we in violation of the GBC for life? And what does it mean? What will be their function in relation to the society and in relation to their own evolving on the path of bhakti? Well, that's a nice topic, and it's being very seriously considered presently by thoughtful persons in addition to your thoughtful self. It's, you know, what will that look like? And, you know, part of it is it's not going to look the same for everybody. Rabindra Sarup Prabhu is one example, who is recently no longer in a GBC position, and he's going to do the Rabindra Sarup Prabhu service and not involve himself. You know, he'll be in something of an advisory consultant kind of, you know, sage role kind of thing, but his main focus is writing. Fantastic. He's wanted, and we've wanted, and for, you know, for at least a decade or two, and now it's happened. Fantastic. And it's a nice example. And then, you know, I could just, others as examples. Shivaram Maharaj is another example. He wants to, for health reasons, he's had a few operations in the past year, about three. His health is bad, and, you know, he has a very capable person that can assume his GBC responsibility, very capable, and he wants to write. And, you know, be a visionary, and each person is going to be a little different. But, you know, the model that you spoke about is the model that's, you know, what is going to be the best for those members and example setting for the society. It's I swear to you, before Kishore Kishori, it's being considered very thoughtfully by some very conscientious persons. Not just, you know, it's not just individual, it's also model. What's the example to be set? Because, you know, we haven't encountered this exactly the same way. And there's like a wave over the next number of years. What's it going to look like? Okay. Prahlad. Go ahead.
I have a three-part question.
You have what?
A three-part question.
Three-part question, okay.
The first part is, like, does Prahlad Maharaj stay with Nrsingadev in Vaikuntha?
I don't know. What's the second question?
Because it has to do
According to Sanatana Goswami, yes. But, you know, it would seem reasonable, yes. But
so does it mean that he keeps coming down for every time the Nrsimhadev pastime comes, like every yuga cycle, doesn't it happen?
Is it the same Prahlad every time?
Yes.
That he appears? That's what your question is? I don't know the answer to that question.
Because if he comes down every time, because you told in your South India Yatra there was this one Brahmana, Prahlad Maharaj, in his previous life. So if he's in Vaikuntha,
yeah, well, that's something what he was in his previous life is from, I believe, Brahmanda Purana, I'm not sure, one of the Puranas. And in the Bhagavat Purana, it says that he's an eternally liberated soul. So it seems like there's different palats. But I don't have the answer to that. Next one. Well, you have your third part question. Okay. I don't know. You want to get up and give the microphone to somebody?
Maharaj, I noticed when you were reading the verses, it describes that when the demigods heard the sound, their first thought was, oh, our planets are now being destroyed. And it kind of reminded me of how the demigods are generally considered mixed devotees.
Yeah.
And so they were scared of directly approaching Narsingadev. So they asked Prahlad to offer prayers to appease him or calm him down.
They weren't afraid. They offered their prayers too. This is like a little editing on what you said. They wanted to see his anger subside. They were intimidated by or trembling at his anger because it was intense. So they offered prayers, and their prayers were inadequate. So they wanted to see his anger subside. But yes, they're mixed.
Thank you for that little correction. So my question is, for one who is a mixed devotee, how should he approach Narsingadev? Or should we be kind of scared? And I mean, although it's Krishna, it's the same Krishna, but...
Well, depends on the devotee. Two things in response. One is, Prahlad said, of course, that's Prahlad, not us, they're not mixed devotee. He, you know, your fearsome teeth and claws and all of that, I'm not afraid of that because I know that's for the non-devotee. That's for the demons. But the demigods, they're afraid. So just please remove the anger so they don't have to be afraid of your anger. Because it's not for them anyways. It's for the demons. So that's how he regarded. That's the unmixed devotee. Then this is a little anecdotal, but you may appreciate it in response to your question. Sridhar Swami, my godbrother, Sridhar Swami, Prabhupada disciple, was diagnosed. We stayed together. He was in a room right next door to me, so that in that sense we stayed together in the Brooklyn Temple for about 2.5 years. And then we took prasadam together twice a day, every day, and you know we associated together very closely. It was a really wonderful association. At some point he was diagnosed with hepatitis C. And it was like, you know, it was a terminal, they gave him a certain amount of time, so he, you know, got the notice. Like Maharaj Parikshit got a notice. He was going to die. He lasted longer than the doctors had predicted for a number of reasons. But so one of the things that he did, which he had never done before, was he began deity worship, and he was worshiping Lord Narsingadev. And then his health kind of lifted. You know, the condition of hepatitis C diminished and it got better. So then he started doing more service. And one of the services he wanted to do was fundraise for the TOVP. Fundraising for the Temple of Vedic Planetarium. And then he, you know, was thinking, you know, what would we want the exhibits in the Temple of Vedic Planetarium to look like that will really, you know, knock the socks off of people that go there? Like, wow. And, you know, so he went to visit the Epcot Center in Florida. And he went with his disciple Mayapur. You know Mayapur? You know of him? Very nice devotee, brahmachari, at least when I knew him. And so they flew to Orlando, get a rented car, put Marge's stuff in the trunk, went to the Epcot Center. When he came back, everything was gone from his trunk. Stolen. His computer, his, you know, his everything, including his Nrsimha deity. And then from Orlando, he came to New York. And Maharaj shared with me, you know, what happened. And told the whole story. And I said, wow, whoever did that is really gonna get it. Stole the property of a sannyasi and stole Lord Nrsimha Dev. And he was like so calm, and he said, you don't understand Lord Nrsimha Dev. He's so merciful. Somehow, some mercy is going to come into that person's life because he's just so merciful. That's how a not unconditioned or, you know, less than perfected soul saw Lord Nrsimha Dev. He's very kind. He said, you don't understand. He's very kind. He's very kind. So it depends on the person, to respond to your question. It depends on the person, how they see him. For the devotee, he's very kind. He's the shelter and the protection. Just like a child, when there's some danger or difficulty, what happens? Small child. They run to their mother and father for protection. And they jump in their arms because they're going to protect them. So for the devotee that understands, Lord Nrsimha Dev gives protection. He's the place of safety and shelter and kindness. When one is freed from fear and anxiety, just being the recipient of his mercy. What to speak of then those that have like lots of devotion for him. There are some devotees, without naming the names, but some very prominent devotees, they're Nrsimha Bhaktas. There's ISKCON devotees that are Nrsimha Bhaktas. They really like, not just Nrsimha Dev fans, they have deep devotion for Lord Nrsimha Dev. And it's within our Gaudiya tradition, similarly also. For specifically, according to like Brahma Samhita, specifically, the indication is he removes all obstacles in the path of devotion to Krishna. He's great. For the purpose of devotion to Krishna. His association, his shelter, his kindness is not just like protection from mean people. It's protection from our own impurity. So that we can come to the shelter of... And so that's how devotees of Krishna Bhaktas and Gaudiya tradition see Lord Nrsimha Dev. So it depends on their position, the answer to your question. Yes, in the back?
Thank you, Maharaj. This is maybe in response to Manchu's question, but can a devotee have equal reverence for Lord Nrsimha Dev as Krishna, and would it be considered like offensive?
No.
So.
No problem. The worship is especially. I mean, the followers of Lord Chaitanya are largely, there's exception, but largely they're worshippers of Krishna. So the worship of others is seen in any relationship with Krishna because Krishna is avatari. He's the source of all avatars. So there's some resonance, not dissonance. There's other particular things that can be said, but that's a general. Yes.
Maharaj, I had multiple questions, but you can feel free to stop me whenever you like. The first question was, you had mentioned that the forms of Krishna or the forms of different avatars are always existing in Vaikuntha planets.
They're eternally existing in the Vaikuntha planets. Is that your question?
That you mentioned during the class. My question was, it's described that in different yogas, they appear in different specific forms. Like, for example, Lord Ram might appear in a greenish complexion or in a reddish complexion. So are there different Vaikuntha planets for every different form of the same incarnation also?
I'm unaware. I would be interested to see the reference where it says Ramachandra appeared in a reddish complexion. I'm unaware of any reference that says that. Jai Jagannath, are you familiar with that reference?
Okay. But, I mean,
you're surprising some of us. It's a little difficult to answer your question.
I might have confused between different incarnations.
Yeah, in Varaha, white and red. Okay. Rakta Varaha and Shweta Varaha.
Okay.
Maybe that addresses, you know, what you're looking for.
Right, but for example, in that specific, the same example that you gave, Varaha Dev, so then are there two planets for...
Okay, yeah, that's your question. I don't know.
Okay.
That's an honest answer.
Okay. Can I ask more questions?
Yeah, sure.
One was that you were saying when Krishna appears himself as either Krishna or Lord Chaitanya...
Speak slowly. When sure. Krishna appeared...
Himself as yeah. Krishna or Lord Chaitanya.
Yeah.
All the other incarnations are residing in him.
Correct.
So it's also described, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that the pastimes of Krishna are eternally happening in one universe or the other.
Yes.
Always in the material world. So are there, I'm just trying to understand, so all these incarnations are existing in Vaikuntha planets and
yes.
in the material world within Krishna or Lord Chaitanya simultaneously?
And these, specifically, Krishna's pastimes are manifest like that eternally. You know, in Krishna's presence, in there's avyakta and vyakta pastimes. The Goloka realm is, for us at least, not manifest, unless one is highly elevated. And then his vyakta pastimes, they're manifest in this world, and as long as the universe is manifest, he's making his pastimes somewhere. I'm not familiar with any reference that says, although there isn't necessarily a reason to not, that other forms similarly, but let's just, you know, have eternal pastimes in this world. In some universe somewhere is Ramchandra's pastimes. In some universe somewhere is Lord Nrisimhadev's pastimes. Or some part of the universe or something like that. I'm not seeing that reference. It doesn't mean it can't be. But let's just stay with Krishna's pastimes, okay?
Sure.
Now, with Krishna's pastimes, your question is that endlessly going on in this world? The cosmic manifestation isn't eternally manifest. But when it is manifest, those pastimes are going on somewhere.
Right. And while those pastimes are going on, the other forms, like Lord Ram, Lord Narsingadev, Lord Varahadev, are also present within Lord Krishna.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Okay. Kind of, yes. Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Last question. Jai Jagannath. Oh, you have another one.
This small question. But
one, go ahead.
Just in the last verse that we read today, it was described that Lord Narsingadeva was killing all the demons with his conch, disc, club, and other natural weapons,
yes.
other similar natural weapons. I was just trying to understand why the club or the disc would be referred to as natural weapons.
Because they're his paraphernalia.
Okay.
No problem. Okay. Have you seen Lord Narsingadeva in Mayapur?
Yes,
he's got so many weapons. That's Ugra Nrisimha. He's ready for battle. He's got claws, but he has other weapons too. And it's his natural weapons. It's his paraphernalia. Why not? You have some paraphernalia? Maybe not weapons, but you have some paraphernalia. You got shoes and a computer and some paraphernalia. He has paraphernalia.
My question is kind of similar to Bhakti Terence. The idea you were expressing in the class, how the form of the Lord is a manifestation of the devotee's bhava. You were mentioning that earlier on in discussion.
Well, the form that the devotee sees is in reciprocation with.
It reminded me of a verse in the Bhagavatam where it also mentions how the Lord, out of showing mercy to the devotees, will take on a particular form of transcendence in which the devotee always thinks of him.
Yes.
So my question is, and also in relationship to two points that Prabhupada makes in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 9, verse 13 in 1865 about being one pointed on Krishna, not even thinking of other forms of the Lord.
Correct.
And Prabhupada says it twice. And so I was wondering, so we, of course we worship all the forms of the Lord because we better. No. But how important is it for us to become kind of one point in attention? You spoke about devotees in ISKCON being the Nishinga Bhaktas. It's not just being thought of in a general sort of sense of devotee, but as a Nishinga, but he's a Nishinga Bhakta. So how important is it for devotees as we're developing our Krishna consciousness that we kind of do enthrone sort of like an Ishta Devata in our heart, like where it's kind of really one pointed in the sense that Prabhupada speaks about it in his proportion.
Well, again, it depends. It's personal. It's not subjective. It's personal. Like Mariguptha. He was a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, deeply devoted. And his Ishtadev was Ram. But Ram is within Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so there's no dissonance. So he would see Ram in relation to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya in relation to Ram. That's like on that platform. And then there's us. We're not on that platform. And let's say, without naming the names, you know, somebody is a Nrisinga Bhakta, that's a member of ISKCON. So depends on their disposition, but because we're in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and we're hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing in Bhagavad Gita and those two references and other places also, Krishna is the Supreme Personality. That's the Bhagavatam that we're hearing from. So that Nrisinga Bhakti, for the Nrisinga Bhakta that's on our platform, not Mariguptha's platform, evolving some affinity towards Nrisingadev, for example, would then, at least it would seem to me, natural that they would see that affinity reposed in the personality of Godhead, Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, Krishna. So this is like, there's no dissonance, in other words. Now, exclusively, like the reference that you were making, exclusively, you know, it depends on the maturity of devotion and transcendental revelation in the heart of that devotee to see this affinity that I have for Nrisingadev is actually an affinity for the personality of Godhead, Krishna. None different. It's something like, not exactly the same, but something like the Brahmana who was the Ram Bhakta that Lord Nrisingadev visited, and he was supposed to cook, but he didn't cook. He was waiting for Lakshman to bring the ingredients from the forest and that, like, that whole Leela. Through Lord Chaitanya's association, he became a Krishna Bhakta. Although he was a Ram Bhakta, like such an intense, absorbed, always chanting the name of Ram, Ram Bhakta, he was then chanting Krishna, 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 through Lord Chaitanya's association. Similarly, in our Gaudiya line, that's Krishna Bhakti becomes our affinity. And even specifically, you know, the devotion towards Krishna in the mood of the gopis, that's the gift of Lord Chaitanya. So one may have going to be in Nrisinga Bhakta and have that affinity. And through the association of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's associates and his teachings and so forth, that affinity for Lord Nrisingadev, you know, I can't articulate how that would come to be, but seeing that feature as being part of and then eventually transferred to exclusive affinity for Krishna, somehow transcendentally, by the power of association and assimilation of that association. Not like nullify or reject or something, but somehow bring one to that position of affinity, like the Brahmin in South India who became Krishna Bhakta. Similarly, I don't know if I can do better than that. Okay, thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna, we have vegetable cut up downstairs now for the feast tonight. So.